This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, that's the big thing about Chris Rutkowski. This report may come in June. Or it may be, hey, we need more time. But if they don't release the report, what do you do? Withhold the budget from them?
Yeah, exactly. And let's say the report does come out on time. I mean, there's an out buried in the report that it may actually not contain details of cases if those particular cases are a threat to national security. And even if the report does come out, what remains unclassified may not be that interesting at all. Although I remember having a conversation with Paul Dean about this. Paul had a very good point that even if we don't have the actual cases, even if there's something like a statement to the effect of, you know, in June of 2017, there were 43 UAPs reported by Navy personnel. That in itself is actually quite interesting. If it was actually contained in the intelligence report. And we have breakdowns for other months throughout the years. So it's very possible that the report, even if it's relatively censored and redacted, might have some interesting information in it.
Now, of course, here, though, you know, the other thing, and this goes back to our previous segment there, when you were saying, well, you know, the military is, you know, constantly said there's really nothing to it, but really, yeah, they haven't really been saying there's necessarily nothing to it. They've always said it doesn't represent a threat to national security.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not they're saying, well, then, no, it's not that there's nothing to investigate. It's that it's just not a threat. But then you start to look at, well, okay, there you've got these craft, whatever they are, that are approaching carrier groups and nuclear installations and various other military assets. And so you have to ask yourself, well, if that's the case, why aren't they a threat to national security?
Well, and one possible reason is because they know that they're not unidentified craft, that what is being perceived and photographed and reported by Navy personnel are the so-called drones and all that sort of stuff. That's one interpretation. If that is, then that's a pretty obvious one. And I don't think a lot of people would be very, very satisfied with that. But it does underlie a few interesting things in that in the United States, and this is where the difference is between the United States and Canada, in the States, the UFO problem was looked at as a defense and a security issue. In Canada, the Department of National Defense handed off UFO investigations to the National Research Council of Canada, which was basically the Smithsonian Institution for Canada, as a science issue. So the Canadian government wasn't looking at UFOs as a defense problem, but as a scientific problem.
Yeah, Transport Canada had something to do with it for a while as well there.
It was actually after the National Research Council. But yeah, it's a completely different viewpoint so that the Canadian Department of National Defense could say, yes, you know, we don't find it a security or defense issue at all because they had already given it to the National Research Council. Now, what happened is, of course, is that the National Research Council of Canada handed it off as well, effectively, to Transport Canada. And actually, you may be hearing about this in the coming weeks. I know that there's some journalists poking around in terms of service reports and then CADOR's reports and things like that, reports of UFOs by pilots. Through Transport Canada, the issue becomes, well, what are the pilots seeing and why are pilots seeing UFOs? Of course, that's not a security issue either. It's not a scientific issue. It's a safety issue. Because imagine if pilots are reporting to see UFOs zip by their planes and they've got 300 or 400 passengers on board. That's an issue. If there supposedly is nothing there and the radar says there's nothing there and yet there's an object outside the cockpit window, that's an issue too. Because does that mean that the radar is malfunctioning? And if radar is malfunctioning, that's a safety issue. So what could be is that the shifting around of departmental interest
responsibility
is shifted around in Canada, we can see it very clearly. Perhaps that's what's going on in the United States after Luba closed down, that nobody seemed to know what to do with it. So it's shifted responsibility through a number of departments. I mean, I would argue that if pilots are reporting UFOs, and we certainly have reports of pilots seeing UFOs off the coast of California in terms of military, but certainly more recently over the years, we've had reports from commercial jet pilots too. Clearly that's a safety issue. If a pilot is imagining that there's a UFO there, that's a safety issue. If the radar is saying there's nothing there, but in fact there's a UFO there, that's a safety issue. If the radar says there is something there and you can't see anything, that's a safety issue. So I would say that, if anything, there's a lot more evidence to suggest that governments and military personnel should be investigating UFO reports even more, because the reports are not going away.
Well, that's just logical, isn't it? I mean,
that's why nobody's paying attention, because it is logical.
Yeah, because it is logical. Well, I mean, think about it. The military can try and tell us all they want that they're not interested, but let's face it, we've still got NORAD, and it is the job of theirs to track things that are going on in the air, and, of course, they lays with other departments, including Space Command and the rest, to see what's going on all the way up and out past the moon. They've got the best tracking systems in the entire world, billions of dollars on ships and ground-based stations and satellites and everything else. If you think that they're not aware of what's going on and not interested in it when they spent all that money to make it their job, it makes zero sense. They have to know what's going on, and somebody has to pay attention to it. Because what are they going to do when they're sitting there looking at their radar set or their tracking display, whatever it happens to be, and one of these things comes zipping in, and they go, "We've got one. Commander, what do I do? What are they going to say?" "Well, I don't know. It's not our job."
There's a great story that came out of, I think I'm trying to remember whether it was Moose Bay or somewhere in Newfoundland. And, of course, the United States has had bases in Canada for from the Second World War. And one of the bases, I think it was Goose Bay, and this goes back to about 1952, I think. And it's in the diary of a radar operator. And he said in his document that he was working on, there's two sides to the radar, to the base. There's a Canadian side and an American side, and they both had radar systems. So the top brass, as he described it, were coming in to do an inspection. So they came to the American side first, and as they were actually inspecting, the radar system started picking up an object on the screen that was zipping around and doing things that aircraft shouldn't be doing, and they had no idea what the heck it was. And of course, they were very embarrassed, and the top brass were very, very upset that the radar operators had no idea what was going on, what's going on with it. They went to the Canadian side, and the Canadian radar was also picking it up, suggesting that there really was something going on, and it was a very embarrassing incident, and there was a report that had to be filed regarding it. And I think that actually made it into not Blue Book, but one of the other intelligence reports regarding what was going on at some of the military bases. So these things have been reported and recorded for many, many years, and either the radar equipment was malfunctioning, which causes concern, or there was something actually there and we had no idea what was going on, which also causes concern.
Indeed. So, either way, we've got a situation that needs some further investigation.
Absolutely.
Going back to the previous segment as well, I mean, what about guys like Paul Hellyer, and now we've got the former director of space programs for the Israeli Defense Ministry, and they're talking about things like alien life forms representing the Galactic Federation, and that President Donald Trump knows about it. And I mean, how seriously do we take these guys? Or are they just reading other people's books like Corey Good or whatever and saying that that's what they believe?
Before we have the answer, we got more with Chris, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So what about this Galactic Federation, Chris Rutkowski?
Yeah,
what about it?
Well,
are they just Star Trek fans?
Well, I think that's the case with Paul Hellyer, of course. I mean, people are saying, you know, he knows what's going on because he was Minister of Defense, but he was Minister of Defense almost 55 years ago, and he long since lost his security clearance. So he really probably doesn't have any contact about what's really being reported. I actually have a copy of one of his books. People probably have his Money Mafia book, but there's one that he wrote about his memoirs, spending time up at his cottage in Muskoka. He and his buddies saw a UFO pass overhead, and in his memoirs, he made it very clear that the suggestion was that it was simply Jack Daniels speaking.
Yes, some people knew him well, but not me.
Yeah, but where he makes these claims about 76 varieties of aliens and the story about the nuns, the aliens dressed as nuns walking around Las Vegas, that actually comes from a contactee book that he obviously had read. And they actually weren't aliens dressed as nuns. The aliens were dressed as nurses.
So they weren't dressed like Michael Rennie in a silvery suit.
Yeah.
Saying Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Yeah.
What about this Chaim Eshed character then? I mean, do we even know what his sources are? I've tried to find, but nobody seems to know. It was just this story that came out.
Well, they're interesting stories. That's the problem. And without any documentation, it's hard to know what to do with a lot of this stuff. So that's why I tend to focus specifically on the case reports themselves, what can be documented, the physical evidence, intelligence reports, that type of thing, because that's stuff that we can actually look at and follow back to their sources. All these claims that have been floating around, and most UFO conferences are chock full of people who, you know, claim to be, to have inside information and tuning into the consciousness, and the Galactic Federation is telling us to shape up. I mean, it's all contactee stuff from the 1950s. In fact, the 1950s contactees, I think, did it a little bit better and in style. And seriously, you can actually match the wording almost exact between some of the 1950s contactees and what some contactees are talking about right now.
Isn't it interesting here that you could repeat a hoax or something completely disproven from the 50s in the UFO field or the 60s or whatever in the 21st century, and people don't know? Because, you know, the problem being that those who exposed these hoaxes didn't have the circulations or reach of the people who perpetuated them. I mean, I was mentioning, of course, George Adamski and Jim Moseley's special Adamski expose issue. Now, at the time he published it in 1957, maybe he had 1,000 or 2 readers. At most. I mean at most. Now, we have a website, jimmoseley.com, where we post that stuff. I bet we've reached far more people than he ever did, but still most don't know about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what I was talking about, looking at the actual reports and facts and stuff like that, let me read you something. This comes from the Canadian government, very, very recently published, 16th of July, 2020. It has a discussion of something called pilot reports. And this is a sort of a manual for all pilots, commercial and military, in Canada. And it says very simply, pilots are requested to make the following reports in the interest of national security, meteorite research, and forest fire and pollution control. And the heading is called Service Reports, Communication Instructions for Reporting Vital Intelligence Sightings. These reports should be made immediately upon a vital intelligence sighting of any airborne and ground objects or activities that appear to be hostile, suspicious, unidentified, or engaged in possible illegal smuggling activity. This sounds very, very important. Just imagine how important these things would be. And then it lists examples. Examples of events requiring service reports are, : the first item listed, unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, and we know that. We know that that's been part of it all along. And then, yet they still say, well, no, you know, it's not really of any interest to us. So we're getting mixed messages here. I'm looking at an article here from Sputnik. This is back from 2019, nothing more to hide, thousands of government UFO papers, sightings, photos, to be made public in Canada. And it talks about your donation to the library, where they were at that time in the process of digitizing thousands of pages of information. How's that coming along, Chris?
Well, funny you should ask. We actually have news, or breaking news, that the crowdfunding goal for that was $25,000. Today, we broke $28,000.
Awesome.
It is amazing the response that people are affording in terms of donating to this fund. And it's I'm greatly appreciative to everyone who's donating. And I actually spoke with the head archivist today, and they are, you know, unfortunately COVID had to shut down the archives because of you couldn't get in and do anything. The staff was laid off.
Just an aside on that here, they closed down all the libraries, and I was doing some research on libraries and transmission of COVID-19, and there is a report from, there's an International Library Association, apparently, about libraries and the spread of COVID-19, and there has been zero evidence here in Calgary that anyone from the library or any library has in any way been responsible for the transmission of COVID-19 or spreading the disease. And the same from several other countries, and yet here we go, shutting them down. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. But, I mean, the prospect for them starting to get back to the digitizing is very good. And among the cases, and then this sort of leads from my reading out the surveys on, where is it now? November 22nd, 2016, a Porter Airlines de Havilland from Ottawa to Toronto reported flying by an unidentified object, not likely a balloon. I'm reading from Transport Canada. It was conducting the flight. It was on descent while passing through 8,300 feet, approximately 29 nautical miles east on the initial approach to Toronto. The flight crew noticed an object directly ahead on their flight path. The object appeared to be solid, approximately 5 to 8 feet in diameter, and shaped like an upright donut. There appeared to be no relative movement, and the object was rapidly getting closer to the aircraft. The captain overrode the autopilot in order to quickly descend the aircraft under the object. The object passed slightly to the right and above the aircraft. There was no impact. Both cabin crew members were in the process of securing the cabin for arrival and were not seated. They received minor injuries when they were thrown into the cabin structure. The aircraft subsequently landed without further incident.
We've got more to come with Chris, Gene, and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Michigan is facing the worst current COVID outbreak in the country, adding nearly 7,000 new cases on Saturday in a dramatic rise from just 1 month ago, when new cases were averaging around 1,000 per day. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has asked the federal government for more vaccines, but is getting more people to administer the shots, as well as more testing capacity and treatment resources. Dr. Peter Hotez is the Dean of Tropical Medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine, and he tells CNN that with the B117 variant of the virus quickly spreading, The Biden administration may be holding back some resources it may need to allocate elsewhere if another hotspot flares up.
So the question is Michigan just the tip of the spear and other states are going to follow? And I think that's why the Biden administration may be hesitant about throwing everything now at Michigan, because of the concern is then it'll just have to backpedal and go to the other states.
You're listening to USA Radio News. A comment on a controversial topic from Joe Biden's past may come back to haunt him. Mike Fortier has the details.
President Biden announcing Friday plans to form a committee to study Supreme Court reforms, including court packing. But in 1983, then-Senator Biden strongly criticized court packing.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make.
Biden's criticism of court packing was also evident in 2005.
He wanted to increase the number of justices to 15. Allowing himself to nominate those additional judges. Took the knack of courage on the part of his own party institutionally to stand up against this power grab.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the number of justices is just one aspect of reform the commission will look at. The Constitution doesn't say how many judges the court should have, but there have been nine since 1869. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Chris, here we have, you had to stop in the middle of that case so you can pick up where you left off.
Sure. This was actually a recorded incident which caused injury to cabin crew on a commercial aircraft when a UFO was almost flown into. And we have the documentation. This was well documented. And this reminds me of some photos and videos that are being tossed around right now from the U.S. Navy down in the States. And they don't have any supporting documentation. All we have are the images that aren't very convincing at all. And yet here we have full documentation of something that was, in the words of the investigating, the Transport Canada official, not a balloon, shaped like an upright donut that was right on the path of this descending aircraft, had to take evasive maneuvers, and almost caused a lot of injury.
Did you say it in 2016?
Yeah, November 22nd, 2016. And I'm just checking here, the time was 7:20 in the morning. So this is already daylight.
And so they could see it well enough to determine that it wasn't a balloon. Well, if it wasn't a balloon, I'm not really aware of any other craft that would be shaped like that.
No.
So then what are we supposed to make of that?
Exactly.
All of these people were just hallucinating? Okay, this goes back to the first part, too, of our first segment. When you're saying, okay, well, we don't have any scientifically valid material evidence. Well, wait a minute. Why isn't that good enough? You know, and not only why isn't that good enough, why aren't hundreds of other cases that are just like it not good enough?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is documentation. Here's a 2019, also in November. a Boeing 747 on a flight from JFK to Anchorage reported an object flying sporadically, estimated at 60,000 feet, and moving at Mach 4. Details were passed to NORAD. We have this documentation. This is an actual UFO report on record through the Canadian government.
Okay, well, I mean, in that case, you know, moving at Mach 4...
Not a lot moves at Mach 4.
Well, nothing civilian except for maybe SpaceX, but, you know, unless it's doing some kind of maneuver, though, that is just way out of the ordinary. I mean, we still can't write off terrestrial technology for that, can we?
No, but the point is, I think, this sort of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. I mean, if this is what's being seen and experienced by pilots and being formally reported, because they're bound to do it because of the Transport Canada and the Canadian government's regulations, what else is going on that we're not aware of?
Well,
why do we hear about these cases in Canada and not in the United States?
Well, that's a really good point, and that's, you know, how that article that I had referred to earlier started out. You know, nothing left to hide. Are we really sure there's nothing left to hide? I think there's probably a lot that's still out there that we haven't seen, and we'll probably, well, you know, I don't like to say this, but we'll never see it.
Oh, you remember Philip Klass's curse, remember?
Tell our listeners the curse of Philip Klass.
Debunker Philip Klass.
Excuse me, let me make a sound. Okay.
He cursed ufology before he passed away by saying that you will never get to the truth or find out the truth about UFOs.
That's because he's fighting us from the afterlife.
He is. It's proof, actually, of the afterlife, because it's still going on.
That is great. Well, okay, so those weren't part of the 2020 Canadian UFO survey, though, were they, these cases that you just brought up? Or were they? Or do you take into account historical events prior to the year that you're doing the survey, or?
Actually, no. In fact, that's an outstanding issue that we're working on. Cases that come to our attention after the current year are not part of the Canadian UFO survey. And that's actually caused issues because the classic case up in the Yukon, for example, was not actually part of the UFO survey, where that giant mile-wide thing was hovering down the valley back in, what year was that now?
Are you talking about Fox Lake?
Fox Lake, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually not part of the Canadian UFO survey because it was not actually reported until years after the fact. So we have that issue, but we're going back historically, and myself and a few others are going back historically to fill in the gaps and also look beyond earlier than 1989. Of course, the Canadian UFO survey didn't begin until 1989. We're looking at what was reported in Canada before 1989 to try and get a better idea of what the UFO phenomenon really looked like in terms of the years after 1947. So we're starting to fill that in. We're a few years away from getting data on that ready for publication, but there are thousands of cases that have to be added into a separate database earlier than 1989. As it is, the Canadian UFO survey now has more than 22,000 reports in the database just from 1989 to 2020, which is far more than Blue Book ever had, of course. And that's a substantial number that we can actually get some good results in terms of analyses on.
Yeah, once all of these are digitized and everything else, I mean, this is just such a fabulous project that you've got on the go there.
Yeah. I mean, in 2020 alone, there were 1,243 UFO sightings reported in Canada. And that's actually an increase of 46% over the year before. And there have been some media stories about this that where I speculated that, you know, it has something to do with the pandemic, certainly, because, you know, 2020 was unique in a lot of ways. And the increase was certainly very, very obvious throughout the entire year, suggesting maybe that people were spending more time outside rather than inside venues where they couldn't have a good view of the sky. Maybe they're spending more time at cabins, camping, even in their backyard, so that, you know, more things are being reported. So that might have something to do with it, although it's not just the pandemic that gave rise to this, of course, because the increase in UFO reports, if you look at the data, started in January, February, March, before lockdowns really became a thing. And in fact, during those months, there were, you know, 20, 30, 40% more UFO reports during the same time period in 2019. So something was clearly going on much before the pandemic started, but the pandemic certainly exacerbated it. We don't know.
They've had a lot of reports come in from these Starlink satellites that had gone up from SpaceX.
As a matter of fact, one other interesting thing from the Canadian survey for 2020 is that 26% had definite explanations, and that's actually much higher than usual. In fact, I don't remember having, you know, more than 25% explained since back in the 90s. And that certainly is because that a lot of cases were coming in of people reporting Starlink and thinking that they were some sort of invasion craft. And I'm not making this up. We were getting reports, and people in MUFON were reporting this, and to Peter Davenport and to us too, that they're convinced that it was a flotilla of UFO craft that was flying over their heads, clearly an invading force.
We got more to come. Chris, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus.
That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our one-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, for those who say Starlink, what's that? That's Elon Musk's company, designed to set up a network of relatively low-orbit satellites, correct me if I'm wrong, that will blanket the world with Internet access, with an emphasis in rural areas, because right now, in the U.S. especially, like a third of the country doesn't have adequate broadband. So they're in the beta stage. I mean, literally speaking, you could buy Starlink today, but they send up like 60 satellites at a clip, and supposedly this was causing havoc for astronomers being misidentified as UFOs and everything. I understand, Chris Rutkowski, they've made a change in more recent satellites so they don't gum up the works. Am I wrong?
Well, they've done a few things. They've actually started orienting the satellites a little bit differently. They're trying to experiment in different orbital dynamics. They are messing up some exposures of the night sky from some deep sky observers. There's no question of that, that some astronomy photographs are going to be affected. But it is interesting that the end goal, and you mentioned that it's in beta stage. I actually know a few people who already have Starlink as their internet provider. It's a little expensive right now because it's in beta, but their bandwidth and their download and upload speeds are tremendous. And you mentioned the United States. Well, in Canada, it's even more a problem because of the remoteness of communities. But there are a number of First Nations communities and northern communities that are already tuned in and turned on to the Starlink system right now, and they have internet access for the very first time. And in many cases, they have better internet access than anyone in New York or Chicago.
Right now, the basic offer is $4.99 for the dish or interface, which is actually less than they pay. I think they pay quite a bit more, and $99 a month U.S. for the service. If you go to Starlink.com, we're giving them a free ad to do it. Now, the service can vary because it's still beta, but you can get up to 200 or 300 megabits download and, 10, 20, 30 upload. Pretty decent speeds. But again, it's beta, so you may lose service for a time. The goal is to put up to like 12,000 satellites, but for that, they have to get permission from the U.S. government and their politics there. Like, Dish Network doesn't want them to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues here. But in terms of the long game, I mean, to have internet service literally anywhere around the world That's certainly something. We can't get cell service anywhere in the world. So to have internet service throughout the entire world, it's a very interesting project.
Yeah, especially in light of surveillance capitalism. This takes Big Brother to a whole new level on the other side of the equation, right? I mean, it sounds wonderful, but we're literally going to have these satellites orbiting over our heads all the time watching us. it sounds great on one side of the, but you know, it's,
well, they don't have cameras on board though.
So. Or do they? Are we sure of that? here's another one. I don't know if you know any more about this than anybody else, Chris, but you've probably heard of the Breakthrough Listen Candidate One signal that they detected from Proxima Centauri. Now, they're sort of assuming cautiously now that, oh, it's probably some kind of interference, and yet they haven't found any source of the interference yet, and all of their procedures that they go through to try to rule that out have so far indicated that this signal did come from Proxima Centauri. What do you think about this?
Well, what happens usually with these things, and I think the WOW signal went through a period like this as well, where, you know, they ruled out as much as they can, and then it turned out it was somebody's microwave or something like that that was setting it off. I suspect that...
You mean then, just excuse me, do you mean then that what happens in Proxima Centauri stays in Proxima Centauri?
I would hope so.
Well, this is still quite fascinating to me because, you know, they're saying, well, it's probably interference, but, I mean, have you heard anything more? I mean, they were supposed to be putting out a paper or something, but it's a lot of it has just been surprisingly really, really quiet. Like, they just, you know, I don't know. Have you heard any more about it than
that? I haven't heard any more. I mean, there's a lot of crunching that has to be done, and from a scientific perspective, you know, you want to really, really make sure that what you've got is something bona fide. I mean, we saw the big kerfuffle over Avi Loeb and his paper on
Oumuamua. Yeah.
And of course the other set of papers that came out after it that showed that, well, maybe it really was a chunk of asteroid or something. So you have to be really careful, and it may take years for some of this stuff to come out. It is interesting that it's Proxima Centauri, though, because, I mean, James Cameron, what are we, what, about 2 years away from seeing the next movie from his series?
You mean, of course, Avatar.
Avatar, yeah, Avatar 2, 3, and 17, or whatever it is.
I lost track about this because it's taken him 300 years to make this movie.
Yeah.
And, of course, by that time, all the people who were in the original film will be in the senior citizen centers.
Well, they'll just be uploaded. Their minds will be uploaded, and they'll be avatars. And I think Boston Robotics will have working copies of them anytime now.
But you were saying?
Well, yeah, what's interesting is that Proxima Centauri is, of course, where Avatar takes place. Well, not Proxima Centauri, but the moon surrounding a planet surrounding that's in orbit around there. And, you know, as far as we know, it's actually very possible that such a planet might really exist. I mean, there's all sorts of issues around trying to get stable planetary orbits in a three-body system, but it's very possible that something like the planet depicted in Avatar might exist, and that seems to be where the focus is for this particular project.
It's not something that James Cameron is doing to get interest in the film.
Well, that certainly doesn't help, or doesn't hurt.
Well, you see, that's Hollywood for you.
No, I don't think this is Cameron's doing, but it's Yuri Milner, the billionaire, is behind a lot of this. So, He had dishes aimed at Oumuamua when it went by, too, to see if there was any signals from it. So I find that this kind of study is pretty interesting, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's no question it's very fascinating to look at these attempts to search the heavens for some signal from another planet. Although, personally, I think CD is more or less a waste of time because radio signals are very, very unlikely to be the way to detect extraterrestrial civilizations.
Subspace radio.
Subspace. Why is that, Chris? Because, you know, when SETI was started, it was sort of, you know, it was, they thought that that would be the way that it was going to go. Far more likely that they'd be sending radio signals than probes or craft or anything else. So,
well, the problem, of course, is that radio signals travel at the speed of light. And if there's a civilization as close as 50 light years away, you know, they may not even have heard of us yet. And, you know, the two-way conversation could take centuries. And if they decide that we're worth checking out, it, you know, depending on the physics involved in getting spaceships between the stars, we could be looking at half a millennium before it's worth anything, when in fact, maybe there are shortcuts out there that need to be explored.
That's the point I like to make about this, too. If ET is out there farther advanced than we are, and they might be aware of a developing civilization, maybe they have been here, wouldn't they want to do the heavy lifting rather than wait for us? Or are they assuming that we do not deserve to be communicated with until we have the technology to have faster methods of two-way transmission? Therefore, that's why we never pick up anything.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of interesting questions here. And it even could be the Dark Forest scenario. Now, the author...
Let's have that explained in our next segment with Gene, Chris, and Randall. You're in...
The Paracast?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.